You are listening to The Life of Jesus Christ in a Year from the Visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from TAN. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I'll be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of The Life of Jesus Christ and Biblical Revelations available from TAN. Before we get to today's reading, though, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you were blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings, we graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely into spiritual communion with Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We ask this in the name of the most holy Lamb of God, through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day number 237, and in this episode, we will continue reading from Volume 3. Today, we will begin reading number 8, Jesus in the Temple of the Kings, Feast of the Apparition of the Star. The Lord's visit to the Temple of the Kings took place by day, and he was escorted to it from the tent castle by the priests in solemn procession. They now wore high caps. From one shoulder depended ribbons with numbers of silver shields, and from the opposite arm hung the long maniple. The whole way to the temple was hung with drapery, and the priests walked barefoot. Here and there in the neighborhood of the temple, women were sitting anxious to see the Lord. They had little parasols, little canopies on poles, to shade them from the sun. When Jesus passed in the distance, they arose and bowed low to the ground. In the center of the temple rose a pillar from which chevrons extended to the four walls, and from the highest point was suspended a wheel covered with stars and globes, which was used during the religious ceremonies. The priests showed Jesus a representation of the crib, which, after their return from Bethlehem, they had caused to be made. It was exactly like that which they had seen in the star, entirely of gold and surrounded by a plate of the same metal in the form of a star. The little child, likewise of gold, was sitting in a crib like that of Bethlehem, under a red cover. Its hands were crossed on its breast, up to which from the feet it was swathed. Even the straw of the manger was represented. Behind the child's head was a little white crown, but I do not now know of what it was made. Besides this crib, there was no other image in the temple. A long roll or tablet was hanging on the wall. It was the sacred writings, and the letters were principally formed of symbolical figures. Between the pillar and the crib stood a little altar with openings on the sides, and they sprinkled water around with a little brush as we do holy water. I saw also a consecrated branch, with which they performed all kinds of ceremonies. Some little round loaves, a chalice, and a plate of the flesh of victims sacrificed. As they were showing all these things to Jesus, he enlightened them on all the truth and refuted the reasons they advanced for their use. They took him also to the tombs of King Sire and his family, which lay in the vaults in the covered way that surrounded the pyramidal temple. They looked like couches cut in the wall. The bodies lay in long white garments and beautiful covers hung down from their resting places. I saw their half-covered faces and their hands bare and white as snow, but I know not whether it was only their bones or whether they were still covered with dry skin, for I saw that the hands were deeply furrowed. This sepulchral vault was quite habitable, and there was a stool in each of the tombs. The priests brought in fire and burnt incense. All shed tears, especially the aged King Mensor, who wept like a child. Jesus approached the remains and spoke of the dead. Theocino, speaking to Jesus of Sire, told him that a dove was frequently seen to alight on the branch which, according to their custom, they stuck on the door of his tomb, and he asked what it meant. Jesus in reply asked him what was Sa'ir's belief. To this the Ukino answered, Lord, his faith was like unto mine. After we began to honor the king of the Jews, Sa'ir, up to his death, desired that all he thought and did, all that was to befall him, might ever be in accordance with the will of that king. Thereupon Jesus informed him that the dove on the branch signified that Sa'ir had been baptized with the baptism of desire. Jesus drew for them on a plate the figure of the lamb resting on the book with the seven seals, a little standard over its shoulder, and he bade them make one of that model and place it on the column opposite the crib. Since their return from Bethlehem, the kings had every year celebrated a memorial feast of 3 days, in honor of that upon which 15 years before the birth of Christ, they had for the first time seen the star containing the picture of the Virgin, who held in one hand a scepter and in the other a balance, with an ear of wheat in one dish and a cluster of grapes in the other. The 3 days were in honor of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. They reverenced Saint Joseph in a special manner because he had received them so kindly and graciously. It was now time for this annual festival, but in their humility, in presence of the Lord, they wanted to omit the usual religious ceremonies and begged him to give them an instruction instead. But Jesus told them that they must celebrate their feast, lest the people in their ignorance of what had just taken place might be scandalized at the omission. I saw many things connected with their religion. They had three images in the form of animals standing around outside the temple. One was a dragon with huge jaws, another a dog with a great head, and the third was a bird with legs and a neck long, almost like a stork, only that it had a peaked bill. I do not think that these images were adored as gods. They served only as symbols of certain virtues whose practice they inculcated. The dragon represented the bad, the dark principle in man's nature, which he must labor to destroy. The dog, which had reference to some star, signified fidelity, gratitude, and vigilance, and the bird typified filial love. The images embodied, besides, all kinds of deep, profound mysteries, but I cannot now recall them. I know well, however, that no idolatry, no abomination was connected with them. They were embodiments of great wisdom and humility, of deep meditation upon the wonderful things of God. They were not made of gold, but of something darker, like those fragments that were used for smelting the ore, or perhaps what remained after that process. Below the figure of the dragon, I read five letters, A-A-S-C-C, or A-S-C-A-S. I do not remember exactly which. The dog's name was Sur, but that of the bird I have forgotten. The four priests delivered discourses in four different places around the temple before the men. The women, the maidens, and the youth, I saw them open the dragon's jaws, and I heard them say at the same time, if, hateful and frightful as he is, he were now alive and about to devour us, who alone could help us but the Almighty God? And they gave to God some special name that I cannot now recall. Then they caused the wheel to be taken down from its place, but it on the altar, and a track formed to receive it, and one of the priests made it revolve. There were several circles, one inside the other, all hung with hollow golden balls, with glittered and tinkled at every revolution, thus announcing the course of the constellations. This revolving of the wheel was accompanied by singing, the refrain being to this effect, what would become of the world if God should cease to direct the movement of the stars? This was followed by the offering of sacrifices before the golden Christ child in the crib and the burning of incense. Jesus commanded them to do away with those animals for the future and to teach mercy, love of neighbor, and of the redemption of the human race. As for the rest, they should admire God and his creatures, give him thanks, and adore him alone. On the evening of the first of these three festivals, the Sabbath began for Jesus. Therefore, he withdrew with the three youths into a retired apartment of the tent castle to celebrate it. They had with them white garments, almost like grave clothes. Those they put on, along with a girdle ornamented with letters and straps, which they crossed like a stole over the breast. On a table covered with red and white stood a lamp with seven burners. When in prayer, Jesus stood between two of the youths, the third behind him. No pagan was present at Jesus' celebration of the Sabbath. During the whole of the Sabbath, the pagans were gathered together in the enclosure around their temple. Men, women, youths, and maidens all had their respective tiers of seats. After Jesus had finished his celebration of the Sabbath, he went out to the pagans, and then I witnessed a wonderful scene. In the center of the women's circle stood the image of the dragon. The women were very differently clothed according to their rank. The poorest wore under their long mantles only a short garment, very simple, but the more distinguished were arrayed like her whom I now saw step in front of the dragon. She was a robust-looking woman of about 30. Under the long mantle, which she laid aside when seated, she wore a stiff, plaited tunic and a jacket very closely fitting around the neck and breast, and ornamented with glittering jewels and tiny chains. From the shoulder to the elbow hung lappets like open half sleeves, and the rest of the arms, like the lower limbs, was covered with lace and bracelets. On her head she wore a close-fitting cap that reached down to the eyes, partly concealed the cheeks and chin, and which was formed entirely of rows of curled feathers. Above the middle of the head, bent from the forehead back, arose a kind of roll or pad through which could be seen the hair, braided and ornamented. A great many long ornamental chains were pendant from the ears down to the breast. This concludes our reading for today. And now we reflect on what we have just listened to, what we have just read. Of course, as Catholics, one of our hallmarks of devotion is visiting cemeteries. From November 1st to November 8th, the church actually gives an indulgence for those who visit cemeteries. We go and we pay our respects to our family members and friends. And today we have Jesus going to where King Sire is buried. And Jesus spoke of the dead. Theocano tells Jesus about Sire's faith. There's something powerful about the visit of Jesus to a tomb or a grave. Of course, we know Lazarus, he raises from the dead, from the tomb. But it's this reality that when Jesus returns in glory from the grave, all will come forth. So that where King Sire is, where Jesus has just visited, one day in the resurrection of the body, King Sire will come forth from the tomb, from the grave. There's also this memorial feast for the seeing of the star. And interesting how they describe the sight of that star. 15 years before the birth of Christ, they had for the first time seen the star containing the picture of the Virgin, who held in one hand a scepter. This is an image that we can almost visualize, Mary as queen holding that scepter. And in the other, a balance with an ear of wheat in one dish and a cluster of grapes in the other. So those are images of the Eucharist. It says that they reverenced St. Joseph in a special manner because he had received them so kindly and so graciously. Joseph isn't there. Jesus is there. But they honor the father of Jesus, Joseph. They honor Mary. They speak of this devotion with which they have. If these three kings had a devotion to St. Joseph, what great encouragement for us, believers today, grateful for the role of St. Joseph in the life of the church. This brings us to an end of our reading and reflection for today. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emmerichpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. Also, please share the podcast with others. Email it to your friends, text a link, invite them to begin listening so that you can have holy conversations with your family and friends about the writings of Anne Catherine Emmerich. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast on whatever platform you're listening. I hope you'll join us next time as we continue meditating on the life of Jesus Christ and biblical revelation with the help of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until then, may God bless you and Mary pray for you.